Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Tonight's message I've entitled, It's a Cover-Up. And I wanted to share some more on the redigging of the wells, but just take a little bit of a different angle tonight. A couple of things that really came and stood out to me through the week. But I haven't got slides done, but if you've got your Bibles there or you can follow, there's a little bit of scripture tonight, but it's really important that you hear and listen because I think it's not just what I'm speaking, it's what the Spirit is saying and has been speaking today as a whole. So Genesis chapter 26 and verse 16 we'll start it, and it's called, and it starts, "Then Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us.' So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names as his father had given them." And I guess the question I want to ask tonight around this whole list of cover-up is, what does the digging uncover? Now, I bought a trusty shovel tonight just to highlight what digging is, and I don't know whether any of you have ever done any digging. I've done digging around my place, and it is just shale, hard rock. And I remember years ago, I think Andrew Culverson was one of the guys that came and helped me at my place. We dug a trench to put some bricks in around our front yard, and I think we dug about that deep. And it is one of the hardest days digging I've ever... And he is nodding. He remembers. He's scarred from that. It is one of the hardest days digging I've ever done in my life. And you never know what is below the surface once you start digging. And so I just want to take some representatives of what this scripture is talking about. And I want to go a little bit further down in the scripture later on. But I want you to think about what it's a cover-up, and think about that whole thing which the Philistines had stopped up. They had stopped it up. And so let's start with the earth. The earth represents the cover-up or the deception in this. So what the Philistines have covered up, they have covered something up. And just like in the Garden of Eden, the serpent said to Eve, "Did God really say?" Did God really say that? Did he say not to eat of the tree of the knowledge, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Did he say that? And so there was deception that took place there. And if we have a look, just a couple of scriptures quickly, you know, this is the way Satan works, okay? And we can see these types of the Philistines represent, I guess, the world and, you know, Satan's way of covering things up. And in John 8:44, Jesus is talking about Satan, and he says that he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks what is natural to him. So, for he is a liar and the father of lies and half-truths. So sometimes with Satan you get a little bit of truth, but not the whole truth. And he can deceive amazingly when he speaks with his tongue. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says this, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray," and this is really important with where I'm going tonight, "your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Your devotion to Christ. Now, I just want to go through a couple of characters in the Bible that believed a lie and it outworked in their lives. Just some characters in the Bible. And so if we go from the premise of they acted out of what they believe. Okay, so Abraham and Sarah believed it was their job to provide an heir and not God's. And so they went about things and they provided the heir in their own way, which wasn't the way God had planned. So that's what they believed. So they acted out of what they believed, and what came out, who came out of that? Ishmael came out of that. They acted out of what they believed. Jacob believed it was okay to deceive in order to get where he wanted to go. And he caused some pain in the process, and it caused him some issues with his brother in life. Samson believed it was okay to break a vow. And look where it got him. He acted out of what he believed. David believed he wouldn't be found out. And that caused him a little bit of grief and a little bit of issue in his family and his life. Judas believed that money was more important than relationship. He acted out of what he believed. And Peter, for a time, believed that you could mix law and grace. And if you read Galatians, Paul spoke very clearly to him and gave him a good hiding that that wasn't to be done. You don't mix law and grace. So there's some characters in the Bible that acted out of what they believed. And so that's the first thing we see. So in one, earth represents the cover-up and the deception. Okay, so these wells have been covered up and they've been stopped up by the Philistines. So the first thing we see is the earth that's covered up the wells represents deception. The second thing we see is the digging, the redigging of the wells, I believe represents searching for the truth. When, I don't know whether you've ever dug something up and you've, once you've got below the surface, you begin to see some things that you didn't know were actually there. But once you get below the surface, you actually see what is actually there, not what you think might be there. And so they began to dig below the surface. Okay, in Jeremiah 29:13 says this, "Then with a deep longing you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." God says very clearly, you will find him when you search for him with all your heart. And John 1:17 says this, and I love this scripture. "For the law was given through Moses, but grace, the unearned, undeserved favour of God and truth." So when we dig, we find out what's real. We find out what's truth. When we dig, we find out what is actually there. So grace and truth, not grace, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's what happened through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Grace and truth, both of them. So the truth came through Jesus Christ. When we seek God with all our heart, it says we will find him. Okay, now this is all kind of being pieced together and coming together. So tonight I talked about some of the lies that these people believe, but some of the lies that I want to talk about tonight are the ones that we may have believed about God and about who he is and the deception that the enemy may have given. Now, you might sit there and go, "I've never believed that." But some people might sit there and go, yeah, I believe that. Okay, so here are some of the things. Here's some lies or some deception that people in church have believed about God, okay? You need to work to earn God's favour. Mike touched a little bit on this morning. So this is a deception that some people believed in church this morning. So, you know, you dig a little bit below the surface and you uncover what's there and you begin to see that that's not the truth. It's got an element of truth, but it's not the truth. Okay, here's one that I asked Nick this before the service. I asked, give me a lie or a deception that you had. If you don't ask for forgiveness, God will hold it against you. There's a deception that Satan has put in the minds of some people. That if you don't hold, you know, as a Christian, if you don't ask for forgiveness, God will hold it against you. Okay, here's another one. Righteousness is based on right doing. There's a deception. That, for me, was one of the greatest deceptions I believed for most of my life. I would say 35 years plus, I believe that my righteousness was based on what I did. Not the kind of righteousness that Jesus uncovered. That's not that kind of righteousness. Okay. Some others, and some are more major or less than others, that, you know, I know this sounds funny, but Jesus didn't finish the work. You know, when he was on the cross and he said, it is finished. Jesus didn't finish the work because we've got to work hard to get where we've got to go. So Jesus didn't finish it, we've got to work hard. Okay, here we go. Here's another one. We need to be perfect or we go in and out of relationship with God. That our relationship is an in and out thing with God. There's another deception. Here's a big one for some people. God's love is conditional. And I know that's a big thing for some people. That is deception. God's love is not conditional. He loves us unconditionally. And here's an interesting one. There's this bit of a theory that Jesus was sent to protect us from God. That, you know, he's there to appease an angry God. He's there because God's mad with us and we need Jesus to save us from God. In some people's minds, that's there. Not for a lot, but for some. Here's one last one. When things are going wrong, that's God punishing us. That's a massive one for some people. That's not the truth. Okay. So the first thing is the earth. The second thing is the digging. And when we're digging, we're searching for truth and we're uncovering some of the lies. Okay, so the third thing is, what do we find when we dig? Well, in this case, they found water. Okay, and I want to read this. This is really interesting. A little bit further on from where I read earlier, what had happened was, I need to give you this picture. Abimelech had sent Isaac away because he thought that Isaac was getting too powerful. And he said, you need to go away because you're too powerful for us. And so he sent him away, and that's where they went, because everything was going really well for Isaac. And so they sent him away to find, to just be out of their midst. And he went and found these wells and was uncovering these wells. And so there was a process in which I don't want to go into of them uncovering the well. So, but in chapter 26 and verse 31, we see this. The water that they find represents Jesus. Okay, here we go. Early the next morning, the men swore on oath to each other. This is after what had happened was Abimelech had sent Isaac off, and then all of a sudden Abimelech turned up again, and Isaac said, "What are you doing? You've sent me away. You've actually sent me away. You've sent me away from you because of the threat that I am." And Abimelech says, no, I believe there's got to be something happened between us. And so there's an oath that takes place between them. And so early in the next morning, the men swore an oath on each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they went away peacefully. So they had found reconciliation. Okay. And in 32, that day, that very day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug. So they'd uncovered this. They said, "We found water." He called it Sheba. And to this day, the name of the town has been Beersheba. Now, the significance of Sheba is the meaning of it. And it's a couple of meanings, and it means the well of an oath or the well of seven. Now, the number seven is the number of completeness and perfection. So they found water. Now, I don't know about you, but water for me represents, if we skip on to John 4, John 4 says, John 4:14, and it's the Samaritan woman, "But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. But the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water, satisfying his thirst for God, welling up." So Jesus giving the water satisfies his thirst for God, welling up, continually flowing, bubbling within him to eternal life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not get thirsty nor have to continually come all the way here to draw." They found this well. The water came up. They uncovered what had been covered. And they called it Sheba, which is the well of an oath, or the well of seven, which is the number of completeness and perfection. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. He completed everything on the cross, and he finished the work. And the water is the central part of what has been uncovered here. For our lives, Jesus is the number one thing, the number one person that we need to look for. No more, no less. I know it sounds very simple, but when you get those deceptions coming into your head of things like righteousness is based on right doing, because Jesus completed the work of righteousness, and his righteousness makes us complete. And if we don't believe that, we will act out of what we believe. For years, I acted out of what I believed. And I tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to be very righteous. And I never, ever succeeded. But once I understood the truth of his righteousness being complete, you know, it sounds funny, but I behave a lot differently. I'm a lot more relaxed. And as much as I make mistakes, the same old things aren't coming back to bite me again. With his righteousness, our actions are very different. We will act out of what we believe. Now, remember that living water and that water of life. And here's a couple of these lies and a couple of scriptures which deal with those things. And so if you've got your Bibles, follow with me. So righteousness is based on right doing. So we get our shovel and we begin to dig through the surface. And we throw the dirt off, and it's really hard at the top, but then you start to get into a little bit of muddy water. And then all of a sudden you get to clear water and you see what the truth is. Galatians 2:17-21. But it, while we seek to be justified in Christ by faith, we ourselves are found to be sinners. Does that make Christ an advocate or a promoter of our sin? Certainly not. For if I or anyone else should rebuild through the word or by practice what I once tore down, the belief, and here's what he tore down, the belief that observing the law is essential for salvation, I proved myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law and its demands on me. Because salvation is provided through the death and resurrection of Christ. So that I might from now on live to God, I have been crucified with Christ, that is in him. I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. Jesus is the center. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith. By adhering to, relying on and completely trusting in the Son of God. No one else, no more, no less. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not ignore or nullify the gracious gift of the grace of God, his amazing unmerited favour. For if righteousness comes through observing the law, then Christ died needlessly. His suffering and death would have had no purpose whatsoever. There is the truth. That is the truth. Okay, here's another one. We need to be perfect or we go in and out of relationship with God. So this is Titus. Oh, man, I haven't got the scripture here. It's Titus, I think it's 3. Titus 3, sorry, guys. And I think it's 3 to about 9. Okay, here we go. Remind people to be subject to the rulers and authorities. It's Titus 3, sorry. Remind, from verse 1. Remind people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient to the ready and willing to do good, to slander or abuse no one, to be kind and conciliatory and gentle, showing unqualified consideration and courtesy towards everyone. For we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various sinful desires and pleasures, spending and wasting our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the goodness, here we go, but, here's the big but when the goodness and the kindness of God our Saviour and his love for mankind appeared in human form as the man Jesus Christ, he saved us not because of any works of righteousness that we have done, but because of his own compassion and mercy by the cleansing of the new birth, the spiritual transformation, regeneration, and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out richly upon us through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. It goes on. There is another lie. Deception uncovered. Okay, here we go. Jesus was sent to protect us from a God who was a bit angry. And he's mad with us. Okay, John 5:19. This is Jesus speaking. So Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, of his own accord, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever things the Father does, the Son, in his turn, also does in the same way. So Jesus was acting out of what his Father had told him to do. The love of the Father shown by and through the Son. Josh, if I can just have you to... actually, all the worship team, if you guys can come out. We act out of what we believe. I love this whole redigging of the wells thing. And I think in the world today, we're seeing a lot of Jesus being put back in his rightful place, but we're also seeing a lot of a lot of Jesus not being put in his rightful place. Jesus is the reason we sit here. No more, no less. I think it's really important for all of us that we understand and know God's truth. And it's grace and truth that came through Jesus Christ. Okay, so whenever you hear people talking about grace and all that sort of stuff, grace, by the way, came through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that. Grace came through Jesus Christ. I say it again, grace came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So, if I can leave one thing with you tonight, it's that Jesus is the water that you will find in the well when you redig it. And revivals are fantastic. And seeing people fall over and, you know, come to Christ for the first time is amazing. And seeing healing and all that sort of stuff is all amazing. But the centre of it all is Jesus. And so when you walk out of here tonight, remember Jesus is the centre. He is the middle of everything you do. He is the reason that you will have eternity with God. Jesus is the centre of it all. And we have relationship with God because he sent his Son for us. And loving Jesus is a privilege because he loved us first and he died on the cross. And it's a simple thing, but don't ever let the deception of the enemy take you away from the fact that God loves you unconditionally. He sent Jesus to prove it. And we live out our lives because of it. Don't be deceived by flimsy teaching. And loving Jesus and knowing that he loves you and you acting out of that is the most powerful way you can live. Can I get everyone to stand, please? I just want to spend a little bit of time. You know, I know it's 7 o'clock. I've probably gone 5 minutes too long. But the undigging of the wells, let's not forget the water that we uncover. And so we're going to worship for 5 or so minutes with this song. If you need to go, that's cool. But let's worship God. Let's spend this time just worshiping God. Be thankful for Jesus because he is the center of everything we do. God, we just thank you for the love that you have for us, that you sent your Son to die for us, that we could have life and life to the full. And Lord, for wherever we might have believed or been deceived by words that aren't total truth, or even if we've still got some questions, Lord, I pray that we would grab our shovel and we would seek you out and we would seek the truth to know that beneath all that, if Jesus isn't at the middle of it, then there's a problem and it's not the truth. So God, we give you thanks for tonight. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your power. And I pray that you would reinvigorate those who are maybe a bit tired in you. That you would reignite the relationship with you through Christ. And Father, we just thank you for the power of your truth. Speak to us mightily, we pray. And you never leave us nor forsake us. You say that. And so, Lord, let us live out of what we believe. And that is Jesus, no more, no less. Amen.